In the name of Jesus, amen. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We are to bear one another's burdens. How do we get there? What gets in the way? I'd like to use children as an illustration for a moment. Children are a burden. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, just saying children are a burden. They're a lot of work. Having a child is a burden. Not everyone has had children. I understand that. But every one of you has been a child. Every one of you has been an infant. Infants, babies are a lot of work. They want what they want when they want it. And if they don't get what they want, they cry. It's kind of fascinating. A baby's cry is nearly impossible to ignore. The pitch of the tone, the intensity, the volume, you can't hear yourself think. It's kind of just fascinating how God designed that. It's amazing how a little person with little lungs can make such an intense sound that cannot be ignored. You were that baby. You were that baby making that sound at some point, as was I. You don't remember that. Other people cared for you when they were tired and couldn't sleep. Other people interrupted their schedules, put their needs on hold to take care of you. And all of that they did without expecting anything in return. You did not offer them money. You didn't say, well, I'll try to be a good baby. You didn't say, well, when I get older, I'll take care of you just like you're taking care of me. No, there was none of that. You were a burden, and that burden was met. And so you survived. Now, of course, you might say, well, of course, that only makes sense. If nobody takes care of the baby doesn't survive. And yes, that's true, and that does happen. But I've left out something very important, and that is, you were not just some random baby that somebody found in a field and decided to take care of. At least I don't think you were. If you were, talk to me after the service. I'd like to hear that story. You were placed into a family. In fact, you might have had two people who were praying that they would have a child, who desired to have that burden, who wanted that, and you were born a burden. Bearing the burdens of others is needed and it's necessary. That's how a family works. Husbands and wives, they promise when they get married, they're going to love each other no matter what. For better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health, until death parts us. If God allows children to come into that union, more burdens to bear, and so it goes. The Christian church is like a family. We call God our Father. Jesus calls us His brother. He invites us to call Him our brother. He makes us a part of the family of God. And because of that, because it's a family, there is burden bearing. We are called to bear one another's burdens. And those burdens take on all kinds of shapes and sizes. And they change. Of course, the obvious burden, we might say, well, sin. Sin is a burden, and it is. And Paul addresses that. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. But there are other burdens. There's burdens like fear and discouragement, loneliness. There are all kinds of burdens that brothers and sisters carry. Christians are not exempt. If someone thinks, well, when I'm a Christian, I won't have certain burdens, that's not how it works. St. Paul says we are to help carry those burdens, bear them, help with them, and in so doing, you fulfill the law of Christ. We'll get to that law of Christ here in just a moment. So we're Christians, okay? We get that. We're supposed to bear one another's burdens, and that all makes sense. But often it doesn't happen. What goes wrong? What prevents us from helping bear someone else's burden? Well, I suppose 101 things could go wrong, but Paul, in the next few verses, provides us some insight. He says, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. If I look at you and I see a burden that you're carrying, and then I look at myself, and then I think to myself, yeah, I'm above that. I'm better than that. Especially if it's a burden I see you carrying that maybe doesn't trouble me. And I think to myself, yeah, you just need to get over it. Deal with it. And in so doing, I diminish not only your burden, I also diminish you. It's dangerously easy for us to somehow think, well, I'm above that, and so I'm not going to help. Because I'm really something, and you need to get to my level. When we think that way, Paul reminds us that's not how it works. You don't get to compare yourself with someone else. If you want to compare yourself to someone or something, Paul would say, compare yourself to God's standards. Then let's see how you line up. In the body of Christ, in the family of Christ, there is no better than. There is no worse than. There are only brothers and sisters in Christ who have burdens. There are only Christians who are members of His body, Jesus. There are only Christians with burdens. And so we dare not think, well, I'm better than that. I'm above that. I'm better than you. If we do, we are deceiving ourselves. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. There is no better than in the body of Christ, because Christ Himself did not act as if He were better than you. Even though He was. He was. Truly. And He is, and He ever shall be. But He made Himself nothing. He emptied Himself. He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. He didn't come to be served, but to serve. That is His way. That is His pattern. That is Christ's pattern. And that's His gift to us. And this is, you could say, this is His law. This is the pattern He gives to us. We are His, and so we follow. We try to help with that every time we have the divine service. One of the things we do is we admit we are poor, miserable sinners, depending on which setting we use. Today we use setting 4, and we have that line where we cannot free ourselves from our sin. So in other words, we come here as sinners, and what are we admitting? We're admitting that we're struggling with sin. So, you know, we'd ask the question, well, how many of you are struggling with sin? Well, every hand would go up. Had a tough time leading the Christian life this past week? Well, yes. And everybody would look around, oh, you too? Yes. That's how it works. There is no better than in the body of Christ. Christ is the one who comes and gives us what we could never give ourselves. The idea of a victorious Christian life, whatever that means, isn't really helpful, because that makes people feel less than. And church is not about comparing, even though that often happens. It's about confessing, helping one another as we have opportunity. One beggar pointing out to another beggar where the food is. There is no better than. There is just Jesus is Lord. So what does that burden-bearing look like? Well, that varies from family to family. Every family has things that are similar in that they're family, but every family has burdens that are unique to that family. And so in a church, sometimes you will be the one helping, sometimes you will be the one needing the help. That's how it goes in a family. We keep our eyes in Jesus. And then we begin to see that those people that we're supposed to help, and it starts with our family, the ones whose burdens we help carry, we offer thanks for them because those situations are actually opportunities for us to be a Christian, to live out the Christian life, to help in carrying someone else's burden. And so those burdens that you are challenged with, that you get to help with, give thanks for them. They become an opportunity for you to follow Jesus, keeping your eyes fixed on Him. He helps us all the way through. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.